This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, Lonzo Ball, it's your agent.
What's up?
I've got a commercial opportunity for you from Buzzballs Ready to Go Cocktails.
Nice. My last name is Ball. The product is a cocktail in a ball. I get it.
That's what I thought too, but no. They want you for your hands. They think your big hands will show off the size of their new Blue Biggies ball.
Big Blue Balls? Really?
Get Blue Balls this season with Buzzballs.
Please drink responsibly. Buzzballs available in spirit, wine, and malt. 15% alcohol by volume. Buzzballs LLC, Carrollton, Texas.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I love this guy. Let's go, bro.
Right hand jam to tie the game. OG Anunoby.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Left side Gordon for the win.
Yeah!
Brown left wing. Stripped by Bridges. Hangs onto it. Took it away. And the New York Knicks stun the Celtics.
Earlier on the show, ESPN senior writer Dan Wetzel. Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're asking the question because it's the 71st anniversary of the four-minute mile being broken by Roger Bannister. What do you want to see in sports for the first time? We got some interesting answers getting ready to join us on our phone lines. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Great chat with Brandon Bean of the Bills in hour number two. Hour number one, we had a good chat with Dan Wetzel of ESPN, and our friend from Sports Illustrated is back. It's Albert Breer, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see you, Albert. How are you,
Albert,
sir?
Yeah.
Hey, Rich. I appreciate you letting me pick when I get to do my time. Always good when people, you know, feel at liberty to pick when they got to serve their time, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm trying to figure this one out, Albert. I'm just trying to figure out what you mean by that. I mean, you said you had to take your son somewhere, and I'm like, how about you choose the time? Because I'm a Michigan man, and I respect that sort of stuff. You know what I mean, Albert? You know?
No. Well, okay. I wasn't trying to avoid anything. I was just kind of working around a couple of things.
Well, I mean, you know, actually, we've got a commencement speaker from the University of Michigan. I could call that one up, Albert. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see it over the weekend? Did you see this kid who's got a bright future?
I did not.
No, you did not? No, okay.
You don't want to watch it.
What do you mean you don't want to watch it?
He's okay with it.
He opened the door.
What do you mean? He just said thank you for letting him pick the time that he could do the show.
Okay. All right, Albert. Let's get to some sports discussion. Boy, here's the kid. Roll it. Roll it. Great kid. Great kid.
I dreamed of seeing my team beat the Buckeyes. Not once. Not twice. Not three times. But four.
Yeah, he's going places, that kid. Yeah. I think he's going places. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you also saw the brilliant signer for the hearing impaired. I had no idea Buckeyes went like this. I had no idea that was the signal for Buckeyes, you know?
No.
No idea.
Yeah.
All right.
See, well, things after the last one, things went okay for us.
That's true.
We can dive into that more.
No, that's all right. No, I saw it at the draft. I definitely saw it at the draft. There's no doubt about it. Let's get to the Shedeur Sanders stuff that certainly you put out there this past week, and what happened with the Giants in their conversations that I just would love to revisit one more time before we actually start drilling down on who's going to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Albert, I give you the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think things got a little misconstrued there, to be honest with you. And you know how that works with the aggregation sometimes, but yeah, I mean, I think that the experience the Giants had with him wasn't perfect. And, you know, the full story, of course, is, you know, they, as part of their, and this is common, but as part of their, you know, their visits with the quarterbacks, they'll give him an install. And, you know, and they ask him to come back the next day, and then they work through that with the player. And one thing that, you know, the Giants have done with quarterbacks is, you know, they'll plant mistakes. And again, this isn't something that's that uncommon, but they'll plant mistakes in there to see if the quarterback catches them. And, you know, my understanding was when he came back, he didn't catch them. Shador didn't catch them. And that caused the temperature in the room to rise a little bit. So, you know, it's not why they didn't pick him third overall or why he wasn't the guy that they were trading up for at the bottom of the first round. You know, certainly there were people in the fall that liked him in the building, but, you know, it is a piece to a much bigger puzzle, you know, of the Giants evaluating all these guys. And I think that that was sort of part of the mistake that people made too, Rich, is that like everybody was like, they were all over Shador all year. And the reality was they were all over a lot of different quarterbacks. And I did a big story on this week and how they invested so much time and so many resources into getting this right. Their general manager, Joe Shane, was at a college game almost every week during the season, if you can believe that. I mean, it's just the amount of time and resources they sunk in, really starting with when Daniel Jones tore his ACL, you know, in 2023, into trying and getting this right. And there have been fits and starts. And, you know, the failed effort to trade up for Drake May, you know, in 2024. And then this year, you know, their efforts at the beginning to trade up to number one and then pivoting and deciding, you know, we're going to go with a position player at number three. And then the effort to trade back into the first round, a ton went into this. And that was just, you know, a little window into a piece of the puzzle for them.
Well, and in terms of where Shador wound up, and what is your reporting on did the owner say draft him? I mean, because again, the idea that they were maybe looking at him in the fourth round, didn't take him, then didn't take him when they had a first shot at him in the fifth round, right, Albert? I mean, so yeah. What is your reporting there? And then we can actually move on to how that may inform about Shador's chances of being the quarterback in Cleveland.
Well, I think it would be foolish not to look at like the fact that that was their last pick, right? Like I think that does color some of it, is that if there were people in the building who did want, you know, Shador on the roster, be it Jimmy Haslam or anyone else, without trading future assets, this was going to be their last chance to go and get him. And so I think that that was a factor that played into the whole thing. Now, do I know if Jimmy Haslam stomped down and said, draft Shador Sanders right now to Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski? You know, I don't think that happened. You know, but certainly there are a lot of voices when it comes to this stuff. And look, like, this has been the approach the Browns have taken to trying to get the quarterback position right. Like, they weren't one of the teams that was in on Matthew Stafford. I think that sort of colors all of this, right? You know, Stafford was pursued by the Raiders and by the Giants. And, you know, there are other teams that obviously the Steelers prominent among them that have been in the Aaron Rodgers thing. The Vikings have been tangentially involved in all of this too. And, you know, so the Browns' lack of involvement in any of these sort of has colored their approach, which has been, we're going to just keep throwing darts at the board and see if we can find one that hits. And that was trading for Kenny Pickett. It was signing Joe Flacco, and it's drafting two quarterbacks. You know, it's drafting both Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. So I think it's a challenge now for them to figure out how to divvy all of them up. But as far as Shador Sanders landing on the roster, I do think it's part of what was a larger approach in how they're attacking the position. And I can't say one way or another whether Jimmy Haslam, you know, ordered some sort of code red to draft him. But I do know that there were some people that liked the skill set that Shador Sanders had, which I think played into them taking him in the fifth round.
Well, I mean, first order of business to have a competition is you got to get everyone on the roster and give them a uniform number. That is now complete. So we now know who's got what and where. So on this front with Gabriel and Sanders and Kenny Pickett, who's wearing number eight, and Flacco getting 15 back. What is your first blush sense of, with OTAs right around the corner, how is this going to work? And handicap it for me, if you don't mind, Albert.
Well, first of all, I think this is the first time I've ever had a conversation on any sort of show about what jersey number a fifth round pick is going to wear. So,
well, first of all, because we were discussing this before, Albert, you know, with what's going on with Abdul Carter searching for a number in New York, right? But on top of it, could you imagine if Shador made any public sense of wanting a number, what that would mean. Like, if he twitches in any direction about something other than football and trying to win this job and keeping his head down, you know, it would cause a national conversation. It would be chats on every single talk show known to man. So I guess that's part of the reason why I bring it up.
But it also, for sure, Rich. I mean, like, I can tell you, like, our traffic numbers at SI, like, you can see it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's why it people talk. I mean, whether as relevant football wise as it is, or it may not be, like, it's 100% relevant to the people that are watching us right now.
No question. And the number of people I'm sure you got texts from that would never text you during a draft, like me, I got them during a draft. Like, what's up with you? When I woke up Saturday morning in Green Bay for day three, I've never received a bunch of texts from people that I would never hear from a draft about who's still on the board for day three ever in the 22 years I've done it. So all that said, how does everything work? What's your sense on how things work in Cleveland?
So my sense is that Joe Flacco is going to take the first snap in the spring, which there's some significance to that. You know, I think Mike Tomlin called it pole position last year when he was talking about his own quarterback situation. I think Joe Flacco has pole position here. Now, I think there's such limited work in the spring and the rules are so strict about what you can and can't do that it's going to be a challenge for them to find a way to make sure that everybody gets enough work to learn the offense and be in position to compete when they get to training camp. And the interesting thing about this is that, like, if you look at it, the guarantees in Joe Flacco's deal and Kenny Pickett's deal are almost identical to one another. So walking away from either guy would more or less have the same penalty. So even though Joe Flacco gets the first snap in the spring, that doesn't mean like Kenny Pickett won't get the first snap in the summer or that Joe Flacco is going to make the team if Kenny Pickett wins the job. So you have that, you know, that you take into account. Then you take into account, is one of the rookies, be it Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, ready to be a backup? Like, are you ready to give him that important job where you would want to walk away from one of the veterans? And if you're going to keep both veterans, does that mean you're going to keep four quarterbacks in your roster? Do you have any prayer of keep getting either of those guys, Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, to the practice squad? In normal circumstances, Rich, the third round pick, you know this as well as I do. If you're drafted in the third round, you've basically made the team, right? And that's not the case with fifth round pick. But if Shedeur outplays Dylan Gabriel, but Shedeur isn't quite ready to be the backup, like, what does that mean for what does that mean for Dylan Gabriel? Does that mean you walk away from Dylan Gabriel? It's complicated because of the numbers here. We're not even getting to what happens when Deshaun Watson is cleared. It's a complicated situation, and they're going to have to be creative in getting these guys enough work. One solution here, and this is, you know, how complicated this whole thing is. One solution here might be, well, you know, Joe, you played for Kevin Stefanski a couple of years ago, so we're going to give you a little bit less work. But if you're Joe Flacco, are you okay with that? Because there's a new offensive coordinator in Tommy Rees there who you haven't worked with. Are you okay giving the other three guys a leg up in the competition if you're trying to win the job? Probably not. You know, it's a challenge to say the least. And for Kevin Stefanski and finding a way to make it equitable for everybody to have a chance to go and win the job and make it fair too for the rest of the team. So you've got a guy who's in uniform and starting in September, who's had enough work to be a starting quarterback in one of the toughest divisions in football, and for a team that, oh, by the way, made the playoffs 2 years ago and has a lot of veteran players like Myles Garrett that aren't gonna be too receptive to the idea of wasting a year in the name of a quarterback project.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Part of your column is taking a look at the numbers of Matthew Stafford's contract. And again, this deal you have to pretty much figure that with the Browns taking Myles Garrett off of the holdout board, the Matthew Stafford contract staying with the Rams is the biggest ripple we've seen in the offseason pond here because of where he stayed and the other teams that tried for him and then wound up waiting for Rodgers just to draw a line, right, through this whole thing. is quite significant. What did you glean from the numbers of the Matthew Stafford contract that can help inform us here?
It's a compromise, I think. You know, like, that's the way I look at it, at least. He could have gotten a lot more money in Vegas. He could have gotten a lot more money in New York. The Giants and Raiders were both willing to go over $50 million a year over the next 2 years to get him and give up the trade compensation to facilitate it. And he chose to take less money to stay in Los Angeles, which was the Rams' bet all along. The Rams felt like going through this, and this was part of it, when they granted him permission to go and talk to other teams, they really felt like he valued being in Southern California. His wife, his four kids are rooted there now. And he really valued playing for Sean McVay. And in the end, that bet wound up being the right one. And, as I see this, like, football wise, like, I think it makes all the sense in the world. And I think the Rams did well enough by him to say, we're not going to go all the way to where the Raiders went or where the Giants were willing to go, but we are going to do something fair that's going to reflect what you've done. And by the way, the interesting thing about this to me is what really opened the door for this is what they did with Aaron Donald 3 years ago. The deal to redo Aaron Donald 3 years ago was borderline unprecedented. They gave Aaron Donald $40 million in additional money without adding any term to his contract. And they've essentially done the same thing here, where they add $26 million to Matthew Stafford's contract without adding any term. And if you do the math on it, it winds up being about the same, $13 million extra per year. So I think that's how you get to the math there. But I think it's the Rams doing something fair for Stafford that doesn't totally blow everything up for them. And then Stafford with, you know, a very real acknowledgement that he wants to finish his career in Los Angeles and playing for Sean McVay.
So do the numbers support that it's a multiple year stay, or are we back in this moment again next year? We had Les Snead on the program last week, and he basically said when the Falcons flipped a 2026 first rounder in their direction at the end of the first round of the 2025 draft, they're like, okay, that's enough to make us move out of the first round this year if, you know, and you can finish the sentence. And he definitely helped finish the sentence saying, we don't know what's going on with Matthew year to year.
Right.
But I'm sure if Matthew Stafford looks like the Stafford we've seen the last few years, they'd be happy to have him stay multiple years. Right, Albert? I mean, I don't know what the numbers show you. What are the numbers show?
I can give you a couple things on that. Like, number one, I think that this is very much year to year, but I don't think that's anything new. You know, I think that's sort of where they are with Matthew right now and where Matthew is. And he's older and he's had a lot of injuries. You know, he's got his Super Bowl ring. So I don't think Matthew Stafford is going to play into his 40s like a Tom Brady. So it is very much year to year. I think there's an acknowledgement of that. The contract makes that clear too. And that, the $40 million is guaranteed for next year. Now the $40 million for this year is locked in and fully guaranteed, but the $40 million for next year, that doesn't vest until the middle of March. So next year they could very well be back in this space again. Number two, I think the interesting thing about what they did in the draft here, to me at least, is to look at the guy they traded down for, a guy they really liked more than people realize, Terrence Ferguson, the tight end from Oregon, sort of filling the role that they've been looking to fill the last couple of years. And that actually will help Matthew Stafford. 2 years ago, I don't know how many people know this, but they tried to trade back into the first round when they didn't have a first round pick to get Dalton Kincaid, who wound up with the Bills. The next year that continues with that big effort to go up and try to get Brock Bowers in the first round. And Ferguson is that sort of tight end. So they, even though they did trade out of the first round, they wind up with a piece that's going to help Matthew Stafford, and they think is going to help Matthew Stafford right now. So I think it's sort of towing the line between, being responsible in the way you're building your team and being responsible. And like, you know, we don't know when Matthew Stafford's going to retire, but we got to keep doing the right thing for ourselves long-term and adding that first round pick, while also getting him the sort of weapon to play with this year that they've been looking for the last couple of years. Mm.
So what's the sense in the league right now? Because that's two teams, Browns, Rams, that put the first round capital into next year's draft. We all know Howie Roseman's got a gajillion draft choices. as well.
Yep.
Who's this for? I mean, is it for Arch? Do you think that, that Arch Manning could be in there, or he's worthy of that? I mean, we're talking, again, the quarterback class next year is supposed to be better than this one. Drew Aller's in this mix. Carson Beck, who the heck knows? I mean, Cam Ward went. I mean, Cam Ward went to the U and became the first overall pick from Washington State. So crazier things have happened. What do you think?
Well, I mean, on the Arch thing to begin with, I think we would be ignoring the family history if we assumed that he was going to be in the 2026 draft. I felt this way for a while. I think for one thing, I think that the idea of making that leap, right, and saying that he's going to be the number one pick, it's just, I think it's too big a leap for NFL teams to make right now. They see a big talented kid and he's a Manning. But I think what a lot of fans have done is, and follow me here, I think they see that big, like, what was it, 67-yard touchdown run, whatever it was. And they were like, oh my God, this is Peyton and Eli with wheels. You know what I mean? Well, do we really know that it's going to be Peyton and Eli, though? Like, we haven't seen nearly enough to know that. And people are acting as if that's automatic. It's really hard to be that good as a passer, you know, as a thinker of the game. Like, those guys were both at a really high level. So, I mean, maybe Arch is that, but we don't know that yet. And then, you know, again, there's the family history part of it, which is, like, you look at it like, Eli Manning could have been a first-round pick in 2003. He came back for a fifth year at Ole Miss and played in 2003 and was in the 04 draft. Peyton Manning could have been the number one overall pick in 97 to the Jets. Instead, he decides to go back, and he's the number one overall pick in 98 to the Colts. So, like, the family history tells us that these guys aren't going to rush from college. The way Cooper has handled Arch over the years, I mean, the guy had to create a Twitter account to announce that he was committing to Texas. Like, he did not have social media until that point of high school. So, like, I mean, this isn't like the normal attention seeking kid of this generation. Like, they've done it their way, and they've wanted to really kind of preserve his childhood and preserve, you know, his high school experience and his college experience. And I don't think they're going to run away from that. There's also the fact that the history tells us that, I mean, I think the line of demarcation is 25 starts. Like, guys who have 25 starts or more in college, like, generally do better in the pros. And I'm sure the Mannings are acutely aware of that. So this assumption that he's going to be in next year's draft, maybe it happens, but I think you're making a leap in a lot of different ways if you assume that. Now, that said, you know, if we're talking about the Browns, the Rams, who could be in the mix for quarterbacks next year, there's a lot of promise. There's not like a Caleb Williams where we knew a year ahead of time, like, this guy's going to be the number one pick. But, you know, Drew Aller, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenora Sellers, Carson Beck, all those guys are names worth keeping an eye on. And now you see, you know, in the fall, who can have the sort of year that Jaden Daniels did? Is there somebody who has that year that comes out of nowhere the way that Jaden Daniels did, or even Joe Burrow did, and turned themselves into, you know, a really high draft pick? I think all that stuff's in play, and there's a lot of good prospects who have a chance to make that sort of leap this fall.
Yeah, like Cam Ward too, man. I mean, it's not like we were talking at this point last year. Cam Ward's going to be, the apple of everybody's eye when the quarterback spot. But Albert, thanks for the time, and I'm glad to get you out when I promised, when you chose when to appear. So I greatly appreciate it.
Yep. I got to choose my time. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, and you're taking your son somewhere, so it's nothing nefarious. It's really a process. You know, it's really a process decision.
You saying I should get him a cheeseburger, Rich?
No, I'm saying it's a process decision. and if you decide to erase the text between you and I about this decision, it's nothing nefarious about it, but you have to account. That's all.
Part of my process, my right?
Point. Yep. Thanks for the time, Albert. You be well.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
It's Albert Breer. Everybody, go read all of Albert's material in Sports Illustrated. Yes, at Albert Breer on all the socials, the Prime Video's own right there. Just want to let everybody know the way I operate my business.
Try that parenting tactic, letting your kids pick their own punishment. See how that goes.
Okay. Certainly when they've already acted fair and square. It's tough.
Yeah.
I agree.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Met Gala looks from NFL players. This is going to be fun. even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions. So it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available class executive advanced safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. The biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge-of-your-seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. If you're like me, and I bet you are, there's a kid in your household. For me, it's my daughter that's always screaming, "Dad, there's a bug. Dad, is that a bug? If there is, get rid of that bug. Dad, that bug is still here. Dad." Happens all the time. Guess what? Not anymore. Thanks to Pesty. Pesty is a do-it-yourself pest control. Same products the pros use at a quarter of the cost. The kit they make, it's so easy, it only takes a few minutes to apply. Other pest control companies charge over $800 a year, but with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. Again, Pesty is a do-it-yourself pest control. Take care of those kids and those bugs, and it's kid-friendly and pet-friendly. It's awesome. Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. If the bugs don't go away, they'll give you a full refund. Now is the time to protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/Eisen for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/EISEN for an extra 10% off.
I do believe it was the first time that we met. I'm going to bring this up. It was in the city of Houston.
That's right.
It was the first ever Super Bowl the NFL Network had ever covered. But you and the entire Manning family strolled into the Gatorade suite. And who did you hear singing karaoke in the Gatorade suite that night?
It was a beautiful voice.
Would you say, like, voice, in terms of
it was beautiful, like an angel bringing us in. Mm-hmm. And there we walk in and we see Rich Eisen, karaoke, dominating.
To basically, by the way, nobody else in the room, right?
Yeah, just solo. Just, you know, you get a little practice. Wow.
There was me and my buddy. There was nobody else.
What song, Eli?
That is a good question.
Sinatra.
Sinatra?
I forget which one it was.
Okay.
Did you have to ask?
Or, yeah.
Seriously, it was me and my buddy. And
I remember. We walked in and we joined. Now, but we joined right in.
You did sing, right? You guys all did get on the mic.
I think we got up there. You know, we can't turn that down.
No, I know. And right. It was honestly me.
It was obviously like pre-cell phone. No one had a camera. You didn't worry about anybody filming.
Yeah, so there's no video.
You get up and sing.
Anything,
you saw karaoke, you sing. You don't think twice.
It was just the moment.
Yeah,
that's the moment. You didn't have to memorialize it. It was me, my buddy, Doug. And then it was, I think, your entire family.
Yeah, probably
right?
The whole crew, yeah.
Your mom and your dad. You and Peyton and Cooper.
And Cooper.
Yeah, exactly. what do you have a go-to karaoke song, Eli?
at all?
It's changed over the years, obviously.
Has it really?
You kind of go with the times. You know, Footloose has always been one,
really?
Just because you can kind of dance with it. But now, you know, it's tough. It's tough to do karaoke now. Mm. You're just kind of worried, you know, people are filming all the time. That's then true. They judge. And, you know, I get judged enough. I don't need to be judged on my singing ability. That's for fun.
Yes.
You know, everybody's made it too serious.
This just in, I have been invited to appear at the American Century Golf Tournament in Tahoe, and there is a karaoke night. So there's that. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Dennis in Long Beach, California wants to chime in on the topic of the day, which is the sporting achievement we've yet to see that you want to see happen. Dennis, what's up?
Good morning, guys. Sounds like everybody's doing well. I think you guys are going defense. I'm going offense. I'm going defense. I'd love to see somebody break Vandermeer's back-to-back no-hitters and do three, which would also mean three consecutive nine innings pitched by a starting pitcher.
let's crawl there before we start sprinting with three no-hitters in a row, but that would be amazing.
Yeah, and by the way, his second no-hitter was the first night game at Ebbets Field, and he no-hit the Dodgers.
Mm.
And then if that one maybe more plausible will be Hershiser's streak of 59 consecutive innings in the regular season, 67 if you add the postseason in 1988. That would be fun to watch because it's kind of like the hitting streak, right? I mean, each game it builds and builds, and every line drive, if it's going to drop or be caught on that. And then I've got one for you guys. Listen to the Buffalo Bills general manager. I'm an Eagles fan, and I know what it was like when we won our first Super Bowl, how crazy it was and how great it felt. And I would love to see Buffalo fans have that too. So my question for you is, if it's not the team that you like in the NFL, what fan base and what team would you like to see win a Super Bowl?
Oh, my goodness. Win a Super Bowl. Well, I think the Lions, right? Like we were Buffalo. Already talking about it. Outside of Buffalo, we just mentioned.
I mean, honestly, Cleveland.
Cleveland winning one? Right,
talk about one of the most tortured fan bases.
Yeah, I know, but if it's NFL. and same thing with the Lions. But if it's coin toss, I'll take the team from Michigan. You know,
weird.
Thanks for the call, Dennis. Appreciate it.
Weird you would go that way.
I don't know.
Vikings. Vikings are pretty tortured too.
They are as well.
They've at least been to a Super Bowl. But
right. There's Cardinals right as well. Like which teams have not won one?
Oh, there's a. It's funny you ask. There's a huge list of teams that have never won.
Well, for let's just say we're talking to someone who's 29 years old, choose the Cowboys.
Listen. I mean, the Niners.
I'm listening.
The Niners have a longer Super Bowl winning drought than the Cowboys. The Washington football team, the Bears, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Vikings, the Jets.
Yes.
The Bills, the Browns.
Did you see
Chargers?
Did you hear the way he said the word Jets? Like he bit into that.
Yeah,
because you
don't understand it.
Because you're a little petty sometimes when it comes to that. Like, let me give you an example, Chris, if I may.
Expectation.
When I sent, you know, we have the group chat, and I always get crap for not sometimes, you know.
Replying
quick.
You could remove the word sometimes.
So I see a new story. It just have to be about Michigan, right? And Sharon Moore is sitting out two games.
Sure.
Yeah, so you never text that.
Immediately, within 30 seconds, Rich texts back some weird James Franklin Penn State thing.
Yeah.
So I was going to bother
Rich.
Like, I was going to be bothered by
him. Him going at a fan at the spring game saying, tell me what the price of snake oil is. And he said, 10 its number. I want to speak to you later.
You have a tendency to do that. If I bring up something, you got to always kind of shoot back at like, here's a Penn State.
Because you never respond on a text chain. You never, when you do, it's certainly not with a headline of something that's going on.
That's not true. I've broken news before on the group chat. Broken news on the group chat.
You're the Schefter of our group chat.
You know what I mean?
I'm just saying. Honestly, TJ, all due respect, I'm glad someone else has taken some shrapnel today.
It was all about.
I'm sorry.
My team's already stink at basketball, so I got nothing to say about.
Chris in Nashville, Tennessee. You're on. What's up, Chris? What's going on, Chris? You there, Chris?
Chris is right there.
Yes, sir. I'm here. How y'all guys doing?
What's going on,
what
man?
Chris?
What I mean?
Well, that's good. I'm in Nashville. I got something for you, Richard. I got something. What about an 80, just a clear 80 home run season with a 100 save season on pitcher on the same team with a 50-game win streak?
My goodness gracious. I can't even imagine. I mean, let's just take one of them. You can only choose one, Chris, because I mean that right there was Statsapalooza.
I got one for you. Uh-huh. 50 game win streak by the Dodgers.
Oh my God, that would make Del Tufo happy.
Yeah, but I'm Atlanta Braves.
50.
Man,
oh gosh.
But okay. anyway, that would be awesome, a 50 game win streak. But I would choose the home runs to 80.
80 home runs.
With a few players with it. With the 60 game hit streak.
Well, I think that what would that look like? Thanks for the call, Chris. It would be whoever's closing in on the record. We'd follow that player, right?
Right.
To see it live.
The home run chase. Yeah,
or there would be breaking into coverage, right?
For at bats.
For at bats.
Absolutely. Yep.
And then it would go away until the player's sitting on 80, and then it would return. Would 80 be a miles, or just you just broken the record? Doesn't matter how many you get, or 80 is such a number that we'd break back into coverage to go at bat by at bat on that, right?
Oh, so,
that's the way it would be.
Are we not acknowledging 73 as the record?
It still is.
It is.
You might not acknowledge it.
Yeah,
he does. Is. Chris don't care about PEDs in baseball.
Let me tell you, man, I
don't. Really.
You know what popped into my Instagram timeline yesterday was, for some reason, Vin Scully calling a 2-home run game for Barry Bonds in Dodger Stadium in like game 3 of the season. He'd already had a multi home run game earlier in the opening series, and he hit 2 more again. And the sound of the bat, the ball hitting the bat, and how far it went up into the pavilion. Unreal. Then, which is why, you know, Buck Showalter walked in intentionally with the bases loaded.
Well, you think about the 0-2 World Series. They, you know, Bonds hits that home run, and they cut to Tim Salmon and the Angel dugout, and he's like, "That's the farthest ball I've ever seen
hit." I know.
It's still going, by the way.
It's just different. Man, 80 home runs would be that's a home run every other game. Yeah. Assuming that that player plays every game.
Yeah,
well, you'd have to figure that player is an everyday player, for sure.
So, but a lot of guys are only playing, you know, in the 140s.
80 home runs.
Oof. I mean, if anyone could do it, it's the polar bear.
Okay. That would be Soto. That's what you're paying him, all those big bucks.
Hey. Not to hit 80.
Well, I mean, he plays 81 games at home, and there isn't a homer at home, so it'd be tough for him to do that.
See, that's what I was talking about earlier.
This is salty. We like
salty
like
rich.
Not salty. It's just spitting facts.
That's Himalayan salt rich.
A team winning 50 games in a row is unbelievable and not possible, but the record is 26, so you're seeing a 30-game winning streak.
Right.
It's something that can
And
be
by done. The way, the Yankee acquisition of Juan Soto may come home to roost on the Yankees tonight, who are going against Michael King, who is part of that trade. So.
Who's a beast.
He's a terrific pitcher.
He's awesome.
So, normally, when we talk about Met Gala, we talk about the...
Soto in the...
Right, exactly. The parade of money, you know? Like, if only somebody showed up to the Met Gala in a dress or a suit of money. Although I do believe Andre 3000 showed up with a piano on his back last night.
He did.
Andre 3 stacks.
But we're only focused on the athletes at the Met Gala and how they show up. And in terms of wondering how you show up, there's a bar being set, and it was set at Paris Fashion Week last summer when Joe Burrow showed up with Justin Jefferson, and there was no back.
Backless.
To Joe Burrow's coat, his suit jacket.
Can I do that?
No.
I would love to see it. It'd be tough to unsee it.
Like on Family Feud, you should wear a backless jacket.
No. Survey says no. Top one answer on the board, and I say no.
You probably think you could.
That's the bar.
Okay.
That needs to be. And there are some rules as to what the you know how you're allowed to dress.
Well,
there's a theme every year. I'm not going to go deep into that because again, I'm not a fashion expert. My oldest son is. Xander is.
So this year's theme was super fine tailoring black style.
There you go. Ooh. So keep that in your mind's eye. Who's first up? I don't know. Oh, we're going to start off with Joe Burrow. Okay, Joe Burrow. There we go. That's very nice. Look at Joe showing up. Are those Carolina blue sneakers?
Joe Burrow's wearing Gucci.
Oh, is that what he's wearing? Do you know what he's wearing? Oh, look at Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. I did zoom in on his shoes last night.
No, Justin Jefferson, it looks like Justin, is Justin wearing, is that inflatable? It's a puffy suit. Like, it's a Seinfeld suit. Like, of the puffy, like,
I don't want to be a pirate.
I mean, Justin, you got to. I mean, you work out. We can't tell. Like, you can't even see his hands. Like, by the way, and you could see Saquon there as well. And, you know, this would be the way to hold Justin Jefferson under 100 yards is make him wear that.
Right.
You know, like how I run my 40 in my suit.
Yeah, does he still beat your 40 time wearing that?
That would be amazing.
I think he might.
Justin, next year for Run Rich Run, you wear that and try and beat my 40 with me running in a suit. Great idea. Yeah. Look at us workshopping it.
He's still going to dust you.
He's still going to run like a 4 or 5 in that.
And the dress shoes too?
Yeah, come on. What are we doing? He looks like he's ready for the remix of the Missy Elliott, The Rain video.
All right, who else do we have here? Let's move on. Great, Justin. There was eye-popping. Who do we have right here?
That's Simone Biles. Biles.
Okay, very good. That's Simone Biles. Very good. And her lesser half.
Oh, Jonathan Owens.
Jonathan Owens.
Mitch.
Well, we just saw him now twice in 2 photographs.
So. That's true.
Okay. Simone Biles. I should put my glasses on here so I can actually see some of this stuff. Where I'm like, who is this person? You're only one of the most famous athletes on planet Earth.
D-Hop.
DeAndre Hopkins. Now that is fly.
Yeah,
now
he could wear that anytime.
Like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Jalen Hurts was there. Was he with his newly betrothed? Okay.
Indeed.
Ah, with a chapeau, a beret.
Okay. Mike, he always goes beret like you.
Mike, as the Rich Eisen Show beret wearer, your 2 cents.
I like that. That look is perfect. That's the look. All right. I don't know the rear. I don't have to do the rear, but I may start doing that.
What does that mean, the rear?
Where when is it backwards? Flip it backwards.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He meant wear the hat backwards.
Well, the hat backwards. The other way, you look like you're selling newspapers in 1940.
Like, what's his name from New Jack Joe? City?
Nino.
Nino Brown wore pants. Right?
All right.
That's mandatory.
Yeah. Russell Wilson, surprise, was there with Ciara. There we go.
Ciara.
Is he wearing a cape?
That would make sense.
I think so.
Remember,
he's got a cane.
Was it George's father?
I like the cane.
Yeah, or it's not a kendo stick. Right. So
Frank Costanza's lawyer wore a cape, I believe, one time.
Yeah. I like the cane.
We're not experts at this. I'm sure it's very stylish. Saquon looks very nice.
I gotta say, all these guys are wearing stuff that they could wear on a normal day. Like, all right. The point is to dress like Jefferson. All right. Stuff that you could never.
Exactly.
Okay. And last one, we have Steph Diggs.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Let me ask you this.
That's my king.
Let me ask you this. Is this the biggest Boston loss last night against the Knicks or this look?
Oh, a loss. I wouldn't call that a loss.
Well, I wouldn't know. What do I know?
I got to imagine Fitz and Sully are not down with the fashion like this.
Yeah, but they're
going on.
But I do like the red shoes for the Patriots. The red throwbacks this year that you're probably going to wear.
Very good.
But you don't want to ever miss 45 threes in a game.
Is he going to McDowell's in Queens after this?
Someone should be. Where's the rose petals, TJ, in front?
The Princess Amunda.
Now, if I wore that,
Royal
do you know how filthy it would be by the end of the night?
Filthy.
Everything I wear, I make a mess of. I just couldn't do it.
Your sweaters are too expensive, as Tia Carrere told us.
The reason why I wear these sweaters is it's easy to keep clean. Although I do eat breakfast on the way here sometimes, and I've got a lot of crumbs.
Yeah.
Not to be Jerry Krause on you, but listen, I look at that. How about this? Next Run Rich Run, me in my suit, Justin Jefferson in his bouncy house suit.
A big fat sumo suit.
That's what it looks like to me. Again, I'm not fashion forward. I'm fashion reverse, I guess, when it comes to this. And then Steph Diggs has got to run with that. You know, was that a sable mink? What is this?
I mean, that is a.
I mean, you know,
I can do that.
You could do what?
I could have the mink.
And he's got to run in that. He's got to run in that.
Wow. He looks great. I mean, that looks like, you know what, that honestly, that looks like, that looks like 85 catches, 1,250 yards, and 13 touchdowns.
And to somebody who's not fashion forward,
man, oh man,
looks like 45 missed threes to me.
Different sport.
That smells like a playoff win.
It smells like money.
And that's our coverage of the Met Gala 2022. 2025. Seriously, run in that, Justin. Run in that.
Run, tell that.
And try and beat my 40 time.
Jonathan Owens Kane, too.
In the Rose Bowl is what's called must-see TV. We'd raise a ton of money. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want, because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. All right, let's sneak in a phone call real quick. Corey in Iowa. What's up, Corey? How you been?
Corey. Hey, Rick. How's it going, man?
I'm doing fine. Are you ready to finally sign your document or what?
I'm afraid the divorce is final.
You're finally divorcing the Dallas Cowboys. I have your release of fandom that Jay Felly has put together as the guy that Mike Del Tufo made me think is really a notary when he's not.
He is.
He's not anymore, Mike.
He told us he's not.
He hasn't been a notary in years, and Susie came here with documents one day saying, I heard you're a notary, and all that stuff.
So he, Felly.
Sorry, Corey, not to, don't blame him.
It's your fault.
It's your fault.
Well, why is it my fault? He says to me he was.
He says he hasn't been a notary in forever. All right, what happened? Why are you finally breaking up? What are we doing?
Well, I know you said to call in the Monday after the draft, but I took an extra week to go over pros and cons, and I just took a little extra time, and I was just, you know, after listening to you talk about the Cowboys later last week,
yes,
I think it's just time. I have to. And adding, and also another apropos of nothing, I would like to see somebody hit 5 home runs in a game or break Cal Ripken's streak.
Okay, that's an interesting one right there. So, Corey, as part of the Rich Eisen Consulting service, TJ, do you want to stop him?
No.
Okay.
No. I did that once, right? I told a friend of mine he was going to break up with a girl, and I said, no, bro, she's really cute. You shouldn't break up with her. You outpunted your coverage. And then
and now he's married to Mila Kunis?
No. Okay. He went back to her, and then they became heavy with child.
I thought that's where he was going.
They became heavy with child immediately. So I was like, I guess this is good, but I was the one who told him.
Longest current game streak in MLB is 620 games by Matt Olson.
Yeah, well. That ain't happening.
He's got many years.
And Corey, I guess we're going to put your mic on hold. Don't hang up on him, Mike.
No.
Put him back on hold. And
I'm
you
still
give,
an audio guy. I'm like Felly, who's not a...
And you give your, you Whoa. Give Adam your address, Felly. And we will send you this document, and you send it back
hold.
To us. Okay,
he's on
Corey?
Hold. He's on
okay,
hold.
There he goes. You already... I was.
I put him on hold. Yeah, I don't want to screw it up. I preemptively struck there, Rich.
So hopefully he's giving the address. And so this is going to happen. You could have stopped him.
And you want to stop him.
Why?
I just told you last time I tried to interfere with somebody.
Nothing to do with it.
You know,
this is football. This is not like life and death. This isn't like matrimony. This isn't like a.
I'm never going to beg somebody to stay if you want to go.
Yeah, you let me go right to the Dodgers. You didn't give a.
Mike, the top five answers are on the board. Name an occupation in which you trust a woman more than a man.
Don't do this.
Knitting.
Don't do this.
Wow, that's not a.
It's not an occupation. Don't
do it's a question.
Don't do this yet, because we're going to start tomorrow.
I know, but I'm just like testing
tomorrow.
Him.
Cook would be a bad. You could say cook.
Yeah, but this is a problem. This is now infusing. No. Like you're like just tell top five answers on the board. Here's your question. Show us you're a misogynist. What answer can show off your misogyny
exactly.
more?
Exactly.
We didn't ask the question.
Oh, wait a minute. Cook is there. Secretary is there. Astronaut can't be there. Seriously.
What are you going to do when you get that question on the show?
I'm sure they won't ask
Steve,
it.
I don't want to answer this question.
If they ask that, they won't ask
it. Top five answers on the board. Here's your question. Give us an answer that shows off you're a complete chauvinist pig. Like we're not doing that here, okay? Like okay. That, there's many other ways that we can practice. Okay. Certainly don't give that one to Susie tomorrow when she's
I typed
this.
In a list and it was on the list.
Let's choose another one.
Okay. Name a house you never want to be in.
Ooh. A haunted house.
Oh, God.
A haunted house.
Very jail good. House, number
very
one.
Good. Very good.
Jail house.
Very good. Aura Frames. Go get it for your mom for Mother's Day. It's an awesome gift. It's named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's awesome. It's beautifully designed. And you don't just need to look at pictures on your phone anymore. You take them from your phone, you send them the Aura Frame, and you live the memories, and your mom lives those memories right on the mantle day after day after day. And for a limited time, this great deal for Mother's Day, get on it. You can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com and get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver mat frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Promo code of Rich. Terms and conditions apply. We are finishing up this program with a special guest who's been observing our show all day. Who I remember I told you about that class
yeah, it sounded really
witnessed.
Cool.
That's the only way to describe it. That Susie and I witnessed Pete Carroll's final class as a, I guess what would we say, a guest professor at the University of Southern California here. One of the students from the Game is Life class is sitting right here. Sam Spitz, the senior of USC.
Sam?
Good to see you,
hey.
Sam. How are you?
Thanks for having me. You got really it. Appreciate it.
And it's you really came cool. up to me afterwards, and you're like, I'm a fellow Jet fan. I'd love to come see your show, and look at us.
I've always not just been a Jets fan, big fan of you. It's all really good. An honor to be here today.
So, Sam, what about us? You're playing us?
I watched the show. I've always been around, followed Brock. My sister's a freshman at Syracuse.
Hey! We like you,
I
Sam.
Had nothing to do with that.
Don't feed the animals, Sam. I don't know if they taught you that in the class. When did you first hear about this class?
So I actually found out about it when it leaked, when Pete leaked it to the press back in August of last year, before the school had actually even approved the class itself. And I remember my friend sent it to me. He's like, oh, you got to try to take this class. Right. And I didn't hear anything about it for the next few months. And then I was taking a class with a sports business class with Professor David Belasco, who's also in the picture. Yes. He's one of the co-teachers of the class.
Right.
And he was a big organizer. And note that the class I was taking with him last semester was also taught by Cheryl Miller and him. So that was pretty incredible.
So you were all over it. And so obviously Pete Carroll, you know, has you at hello. But, you know, we've got 90 seconds left here. What did you learn? What did you take away from this class?
I learned more about myself, really. And I learned how to learn about myself while in the presence of a bunch of love and a bunch of people who really care about each other, but also at the same time knew nothing about each other. At the beginning of January, very few of us knew each other going in. It was kind of like a collection of a bunch of different people. And I'm really, I'm much more clear-headed. I have a full notebook that I try to read once a week, twice a week, just to kind of keep myself accountable, that I got to stay driven. I got to stay passionate. Mm-hmm. And coach's mantra of win forever has kind of just, it's going to sit with me forever, honestly, now.
And it's like what I took away from it, what Susie took away from it, is you have this coat of armor now going out into the real world, because you're a senior, right? You're graduating this month, correct?
Yeah, in a month.
Right. And so you have this coat of honor and a code of honor, right? A coat of armor and a code of honor together that Pete has taught you about always competing and sharing of yourself, right? Like that's what I took away from this class.
Yeah, I mean, I feel more comfortable with myself. I feel more comfortable around others, just because it was really crazy, because they made such complicated concepts seem so accessible, not necessarily simple, but easy to accomplish, which made everything so much clearer. And I couldn't recommend, read his book, Win Forever. It's got a great I'll plug it right now.
That's great.
It's got
and it's got the poem that he read to your class at the end. Cool. We're back to wrap up the show on the Roku Sports Channel in a sec.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today